Thank you so much. Okay, ready? Okay, the in Sif Aleph we discuss the Blios of Kavosh. In Sif Beis we move on to Blios Sif Beis through Ches. We move on to Blios through Heat. So Kuf Hei Sif Beis. Chom shel kli rishon shel yad tzu lettuce bo mevashel v'osar kulo. Chom of a kli rishon that is hot enough that's yad tzu lettuce bo is mevashel, and the whole thing becomes osar. The whole thing becomes osar if it's, let's say, liquid. If it's solid roasting, we'll see that it's more complicated. Avo chom shel kli sheni. What about kli sheni? So we don't know terribly much in the realm of blios about kli sheni. We know in Shabbos there's a very clear rule that kli sheni is not mevashel. So it's very clear that kli sheni is not mevashel. Again, I'm not talking about halacha lemaisa, halacha Shabbos as we're used to practicing it. No, I'm talking about the din of the Gemara. Very clear that kli sheni, the din of the Gemara, and you know most Rishonim, the Stam of the Rishonim, that kli sheni is not mevashel. What does that mean in the realm of Hilchas Taruvos? So this is a fundamental machlokas between the Rashba and the Mechaber here, let's say. Says there, the Rashba already brings down some machlokas in his days. The Rashba says, Kli Sheni is not Mevashel, but it is Mavliya Umaflit. Right? He says, Kli Sheni is not Mevashel, meaning clearly Kli Sheni on Shabbos would be Mutter. Clearly, if you put milk and meat in a kli sheni, it would not be nisur d'oraisa because you haven't done derech bishel. It's not a chalos bishel, right? If you put your korban pesach in a kli sheni and eat it, you wouldn't get malchus because it's not a chalos bishel. But he said, who cares about a chalos bishel? In Hilchas Taruvos, meaning for bas b'chol, it's only d'oraisa there's chalos bishel. But in Hilchas Taruvos, if you put your ham in your soup, put your ham in vegetable soup, who cares if it's a chalos bishel or not? We care whether the taste transferred from the ham to the soup or not. We don't care if the ham got cooked. You put raw ham in your vegetable soup in a kli sheni. I don't care if the ham was cooked or not. I just care whether the taste went out. That's called mavliya, to bring the taste in, a mavliya, bring the taste out. So the Rashba says, kli sheni is not mavliya, but of course, it's not mevashel, but of course it's mavliya maflit. The heat of a kli sheni can certainly transfer taste. Not only that, he says, even less than the yatsu lettuce bowl. Less than the yatsu lettuce bowl doesn't cook. But there's no reason it can't transfer the taste. Even a small heat can transfer the taste. And it seems to be Pashup Shat. There's a whole mess about this in the Torah, and we're not going to go into it, but it seems to be Pashup Shat that the Rashba meant that Kidei Klipa. Okay, maybe this low level of heat is not going to be enough, at least in some of the cases, maybe this low level of heat is not going to be enough to make the taste penetrate the whole piece. But at the very least, the klipa, so why shouldn't a partial heat be good enough? That's the shita of the Rashba. He brings a few rayas from Shas, such as the idea that if you shech an animal with a treif, or a dirty knife, then it osers the skin around the place where you shechted because it's a little warm. But clearly it's not yatsu lettuce bowl kli rishon, like an animal has body temperature, which is warmth, right? But it's not hot, and yet we see it makes a bliya. Okay, that's one of his rayas. However, the Beis Yosef says that's not such a good raya, because after all, I mean, without even getting to that sugya, maybe that's because there's duchka de sakina. Remember, we said when there's duchka de sakina, even if it's a little warm, that might have an effect. Okay, but that doesn't prove that warm makes a bliya. There's no duchka de sakina. Fine, another raya that he brought was the Gemara says that you shouldn't put the chaylev on the Beis HaKsalim. After you shecht an animal, the animal's hot, it has body temperature, and then maybe, I don't know, maybe it gets some more heat when maybe a few chemical reactions happen. You shouldn't put the chaylev down on top of the loins or the flesh of the animal because the heat might make the chaylev melt into the flesh and make it treif. So doesn't that show that even a medium heat, even a warmth, causes a bliya in Hilchos Taruvos? But we're doing that also. We say that's not necessarily good proof. That's just a lechachila, a hiras, to be extra careful. You shouldn't leave it there. But it doesn't actually say that it makes a bliya. So there's no place actually in Shas that says that warmth, that's not heat, makes a bliya. There's no place actually in Shas that says that it doesn't. And therefore we have a fundamental machlokes. What about klisheni or chom she'en hayad soledesbo, both of which have in common is vadai eino mevashel, right? Vadai klisheni is not mevashel, vadai hitas less than yad soledesbo is not mevashel. So the Rashba says very clearly that it's mavliya umaflet. It might not cause bishul, but it does cause the taste to go in and come out, and that has nothing to do with bishul. The Torah, it's not exactly clear what he means, but at least perhaps the Torah, this is the way Beis Yosef ends up with the Torah, right, says that klisheni is mavliya, but chom pachos miyad soledesbo is not mavliya. Okay, the part of lessening out soledesbo, that's going too far. That's just a little warm. But the part of the klisheni, as long as the klisheni, obviously I should add, right, is yad soledesbo, shehayad soledesbo is mavliya. After all, just a klisheni, that's not a close bishul, but why shouldn't it cause a bliya? What is the Mechaber paskins here? The Mechaber and the Ramah paskin very clearly that it's not mavli at all. It might as well be room temperature. It might as well be in the refrigerator. Says the Mechaber, here chom shel kli rishon sheyad soledesbo mevashel v'osur kulo, aval chom shel kli sheni eino mevashel. Chom shel kli sheni is not mevashel. V'yeish omer shenafkin mafalo mavliya. And some say, right, that it also doesn't cause a mafalo mavliya. V'yeish omer, and that's the Rashba, we call mafalo mafalo mavliya. It still causes a bliya. V'osur k'dei klipa, at least for k'dei klipa. And what's the hachra of the Mechaber? V'roi lachush lizar v'davar lechatchila. V'l'pidiyah v'motar b'lo klipa doch v'yam masaki. Lechatchila, we should be machra like the Rashba. But b'diyaved, it's not mavli at all, not even k'dei klipa, and you just need to rinse it off, it's the same as cold. That's the hachra of the Mechaber. The Ramah has the exact same hachra in the next sif. He just says, d'klisheni ain't no osir k'moshin espar. He endorses this Mechaber. Right here, he endorses the Mechaber by silence. But in the next sif, he endorses the Mechaber explicitly, klisheni ain't no osir k'moshin espar, like we said in the last line. So in terms of the hachra, maybe I will put, I will leave the postal for Akra. Okay. Says the Beis Yosef, it's not Mavliya, what's the Hachra? So there are three Hachros. One sheet in Hachra is the Mechaber and the Ramah, who say, Lechatchila Aser, means Lechatchila, let's say Hachra, Lechatchila, you should be machmir on a klisheni. Now notice his lashon. What does he say? Aval chom shel klisheni eino mevashel. Right? He doesn't say anything about less than the yatzol lettuce. It seems to be that even his hachra l'chumra, even l'chachila hashtos is only in klisheni. I'll say hachra. We'll come back to Ink Yatzalisbo. It's mutter. We don't worry about a bli at all. So the Iker Psak, one of the Mechaber and the Ramah, is that Bidi Eved, there's no problem at all with a klisheni. It's only we avoid it lechachila. So clearly, lechachila, if we have, let's say, coffee with milk and a klisheni, we wouldn't stir it with a fleshic spoon. Clearly, lechachila, if we had chicken soup in a klisheni, right, we would not eat it with a milchic spoon. That's abundantly clear. However, b'di'evet, if we did, then it would not be a problem. Then it would not be a problem whatsoever. Or even b'di'evet, let's say I took a cold hot dog, and I would not stick it into a cup of hot chocolate. A cup is a klisheni. Let's assume if you heated your hot chocolate in the microwave in the cup, then it's a little trickier. Might still be a klisheni because if I understand how microwaves work, they don't really heat the kli, they only heat the food. Is that true? If you put an empty cup in a microwave, will it get hot?
That's what it's made of.
The main heat.
What if it's a mug?
From the cup.
What?
It's Sometimes it heats it up, sometimes it doesn't.
Okay, let's be mockware since we're not sure until we do the experiments. But let's say you have hot chocolate, you boiled your water, your milk in something else, or you boiled water and then put in powder, and you made it in a mug. The mug is a cliché-y, so you shouldn't stick a hot dog in that cliché-y hot chocolate. But if you did, then you could just rinse it off and still eat it. Right? No problem. After all, there's no vlia.
And still drink the hot chocolate.
Correct. You could eat the hot dog and drink the hot chocolate, no problem. That's the psak of the Mechaber and the Rama. Okay, drink the hot chocolate first, no problem.
Isn't it pashut that the hot dog gives a taste to the hot chocolate, even if it's slightly warm?
It's pashut to the Rashba, but the Mechaber says no. The Mechaber says it doesn't. Why is it pashut?
I would think that if you put the hot dog into a glass of water, it'll give the water a taste of a hot dog.
But we just paskin that it won't in less than 24 hours. I wonder. I don't know. Let's do the experiment. Do the experiment with power of hot chocolate, right? Or the power of hot dog, for that matter. Do the experiment, see what happens. I don't know. Now, here's an interesting case. The question is, what's the svara of the Mechaber and the Ramah? What's the svara of the Beis Yosef? Yeah.
We're talking about a cold hot dog.
Yeah, we're talking about a cold hot dog and hot.
And also not a greasy one. Like if it's a greasy hot dog, then the grease would come off, and you'd have to worry about it.
The grease might be bottled with shishim.
But that would be what might give a taste if there's another.
Okay, the same. Anyway, it's interesting. In terms of the svara of the Beis Yosef, like why, you know, as Yitzhak says, well, it's very nice that it's not halachically chalos of something, but l'maisa, it still tastes that way. So here there are different ways of understanding the Pesach and Mechaber and Ramah. The standard conventional understanding is that no, they argue with the Rashba and Metzias. The conventional understanding of all Achronim but one is that the Rashba and the Mechaber are arguing Metzias. The Rashba thinks it will give a taste, and the Mechaber thinks that it will not give a taste. And maybe we should do some experiments. I don't know, maybe we should do experiments. Taka, who knows? But, as we all know, that there was someone who held that nothing in your day is merely arguing Yalitzias. And that's the Rav. That was his Masur for his grandfather, right? We all know the Rav famously commented to someone that until his grandfather, your day was just pots and pans. And then it became, you know, Chaluyos and Lumdus. So the Rav understood that no, they're not arguing with the Metzias. Give me a break. Everyone agrees that if you stick your hot dog into a cliché-y hot chocolate, that hot chocolate will get a little taste from the hot dog. And it might change the taste of the hot chocolate. Everyone agrees. The machlokas is, the Rashba thinks, we only hear about whether it tastes that way or not. Tam ke ikar is purely practical, depends on whether there's a taste or not. Therefore, the Rashba is machmer. And the Mechaber says, no, tam ke ikar doesn't mean whenever you have the taste of something that counts. Tam ke ikar means whenever you have a halachically significant taste that came about through a halachically recognized process. That's tam ke ikar. But it's not a taste just because you tasted. It's only a taste if it came about through a halachically defined process. And therefore, since this was not halachically defined as bishul, that taste doesn't count halachically, and even though it's there, it's not the kind of taste that's usher. Okay, so in explaining the Mechaber, conventionally they understand him based on Metzias that you really can't taste it, in which case he could be disproven by experiment. And the Rav says, maybe you really can taste it, but that's not halachically considered a taste, because it didn't come about through a process that has a halachic definition. It wasn't bishul. And that's why it's only bliya if it's bishul. Okay, two different ways of understanding the Mechaber. Maybe we'll see an afkamina in a moment.
Yeah, I understand that's more by Basar Chalavar, it's dependent on Bishul. You're not dependent on Bishul.
That's why it's a Chiddush. By Basar Chalavar, keep in mind, everyone agrees. Even if you had mamish milk in the hot chocolate and mamish beef in the hot dog, everyone agrees there's no Basar Chalavar to Oraisa, because it's not Bishul in a cliché-y. That for sure doesn't matter what it tastes like. That's a matter of Chalos. Los Vashel is a Chalos Bishul. So Pasha, there's no Chash to Oraisa. The only question is there a Chash to Midurabana? So, that's the Psak of the Mechaber and the Ramah. However, this is a big... we'll come back. The Shach and the Taz really speak at great length here. We'll just summarize the Maskana. What's the Maskana of the Taz? Or the Shach? In terms of hachra, how do we paskil in this?
Taz goes for hefsek gadol with the beis
hasid. Exactly. The Taz based on the Maharshal, right? Taz based on the Maharshal, right? He is, the Taz says, no, really we have to be machmer on this. Not only do we have to be machmer on Kiklipa, we have to be machmer the whole thing. Right, he says, Oser Kulo, it answers the entire piece. Obviously, you know, until Shishim, that means if you're stuck in the Hatov, not only Kleep of the Hatov would be Treif, the whole Hatov would be Treif. And when is he willing to be Mako?
For a Hefsid Gadol.
Exactly, V'yesh L'Hakol, B'makom Hefsid Gadol. So that's very Machmir. He says, it could be, he says, I mean, the Rashi is not so clear exactly when it asks for the klipa, when it doesn't. But that's going to be his interpretation of the Rashi. The whole thing is asked, not just the kidei klipa. Against both days in the Mechaber, right? The Mechaber quotes the Rashi as saying kidei klipa. And then some people say, totally mutter, and I pass them totally mutter, says the Mechaber. He says, no, the Marshal says the whole thing's asked. He would probably admit that in Pachmi Yasu, that's what it's only kidei klipa. Just, but in Klisheini, the whole thing's asked. Right? And he's machmir like that. He really thinks it makes sense unless there's a hefsin merubah. However, the shach, both in the shach and in the nekudas hakesef, is totally destroys this marshal. Says this marshal is impossible, brings rayas from all of her shas, that you can't say klisheni is osar kulam. There's no such thing as saying a klisheni makes it all osar. It's impossible to say klisheni is all osar. Number one, anyone remember how we pass that iwi klivishom? It asks Kli Klipa, right? So torn from the Klivishon and if it lands in the Klisheni, asks Kli Klipa. After it already landed in the Klisheni, it didn't get any hotter. So how can Asa the whole thing? You want to say Kli Klipa? Efsher. Efsher yes, Efsher no. And then he also points out that as soon as you pour it into the bowl is cold, the soup is hot, that's how it govern, right? Meaning, so he says, Pasha, that's ridiculous, it's the craziest, stupidest thing he ever heard, this Maharshal. But we'll see. The Maharshal just has another sheet to the answer to all the Rashi's kashas. But the Shach makes it sound like the Maharshal has landed for outer space, and it's totally impossible. And Lamaisa, the Shach's right, that it's totally not mainstream, and it's totally not accepted by most poskim. But the Shach says the Maharshal's totally wrong. Either maximum, it asks to the Klipa, or it doesn't answer at all, meaning the two opinions quoted in the Mechaber. Either the Rashba, who might very well be saying that it always asr is only Kedei Klipa, or the Mechaber, who says B'di Eved doesn't asr at all. And what's his Hachra? In how many ways is the Shach's Hachra different than the Taz's? In how many ways is the Shach's Hachra different than the Taz? Everything's a lot relative to less than that. The Shach also makes a compromise, but it's more makeable than the Taz in how many ways? That's a good question.
Two, four.
Correct, three. Absolutely. It's more makel than the Taz in three ways. Why? What are the three ways more makel than the Taz? Number one, the Taz thinks it answers the whole piece. The Shach I just pointed out says, no way more than Kedei Klipa, right? Oser Kedei Klipa. Okay. The Taz thinks it always answers the whole thing. Does the Shach think all materials are subject to this?
Just Cheres.
Cheres and? Just a Kli Cheres out of Kalim and? What's even softer than Kli Cheres?
Food,
obviously. Just Cheres and food, not a Kli Mateches. Where does he get that from? He doesn't get that. He doesn't say. Does he say? But this is a famous Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi, I mean, he does mention this Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, Eroi can make a plea into a kli cheres, but not into kli nechoshes, because metal kalim are hard. Okay, so we don't pask in that way. But the Shach, inspired by that, says the Shach osher kidei klipa be ochlin ve kli cheres ve lo be kli mateches. It answers kidei klipa in food and a kli cheres, which are softened, but not in a kli mateches. And when can you be mako? V'yesh l'hakel, when is the Shach willing to be Mako? on this issue? What? Right. What does he say here? He says, "B'makom she'ein hefsed kol kach." Right. That's it. Yishla hachmir lesser b'makom she'ein hefsed kol kach, and darmachol yishliklo b'makom she'ein hefsed kol kach. Hey, that's a hefsed gadol. B'makom hefsed. He doesn't say hefsed gadol. Says kol kach. Decent hefsed. So the Shach is more makom on top of the three ways. And one, the Taz based on the Marshal is machmir for something not mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, which is that asr the whole thing. And he's machmir across the board in all materials, and he's only makom for the big, big hefsed. The Shach is like more like a small chumrah. If you're talking about soft things, porous things, like food and klicheris, then we'll asr the outer klifa, and even that, if there's no hefsed, but you don't need a hefsed gadol. That's the psak of the Shach. How do we paskin here? Right? How should we machria between these three possibilities? So, I don't know if anyone brought the sheet that I have that I gave out last time. But if you look in the third bucker here, says the Mishnah Brura, he's talking about, okay, I have to give you the background. The one of the biggest problems in the old days, which we don't have anymore nowadays, is that when they used to cook chickens, they used to cook like the chicken with all the parts, right? Nowadays we're spoiled, right? We don't eat any of the, yucky parts, right? But they ate all the parts, right? They weren't rich like us, including the stomach. Now, what might be in the stomach of a chicken?
Bugs.
You know what? Wait, if there's a bug in the stomach of the chicken and you cook the chicken's buffalo shishim seder, a grain of wheat. Whoa. I mean, chickens, they eat wheat, right? I mean, I assume that's one of the many things they normally eat. And this was, obviously, everyone knows that on Pesach, when you make chicken on Pesach, the first, like nowadays, what do you think? When you make chicken on Pesach, you, I don't know if it's really the same chicken. But in those days, there's a very important thing. Before you make chicken on Pesach, you check and double check and triple check that there's no wheat in the stomach. Because chickens eat wheat, and that's a big problem. So, but every once in a while, it seems like more than every once in a while, someone would miss a grain of wheat is pretty small. So again, if it was treif, mela. So, how, what are you going to miss? You're going to miss something so small, it's batel b'shishim. Shalom al Yisrael. Problem is, there's no batel b'shishim on Pesach, and these are ma'isim b'chol, you read the Rishon and Achrona. Apparently, this is like the biggest ma'isim b'chol Yom Shaila. We don't have this nowadays. We don't have stomachs of the chicken b'chol. But someone cooked their chicken and then found a grain of wheat in the stomach of the chicken. Now they don't know what to do. So, it's a big problem. Says the Ramah there, but if it's in a klisheni, then it's mutter. Let's say you only defrosted this chicken in a klisheni, you didn't actually like cook it, then it's mutter. And some people are machmir in a klisheni, and that's what you should do, etc., etc. Right? Says Mishnah Berurah of Hei, Pesach. Ritzon Lomar, I'm in the third marker. We did the first two last time. After Naftil, Iker Halacha Yerdesim and Samaches, the Klisheni, a Maflin Mavliya. Even though the Iker Halacha is that a Klisheni is not Maflin Mavliya. The Iker Halacha is that a Klisheni does not bring the taste from one thing to another thing. Meaning it won't make the taste go from the grain of wheat to the rest of the chicken.
For Pesach, we use special chumra. Okay, for Pesach, for sure, we use special chumra. But it sounds from the Mishnah Berurah like
Me'ikra din, we're machriya b'di'eved, that it's not machriya mavliya. The Orcha Shulchan is, says the same thing. Unless, if you want to be dochi, you could say he just means that klisheni doesn't take the taste from one solid food to another solid food, but maybe he would admit it could take taste from a solid to a liquid or a liquid to a solid. But that's not, it doesn't necessarily sound that way. If you look in the Orcha Shulchan, right here on our simon, I'll just read you the underlying part. Said Aval Das Rova Poskim Eino Kain V'Kain Sussman Devrei Matorva Shulchan Aruch Kamen Kovash the klisheni Dai Vadacha. Okay. He says that, some people are machmer, but das rova post menu kain, and that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, that hadach is enough. He's mekel b'dievan on a klisheni. They're mekel b'dievan on a klisheni. Not to mention, likewise, if you look in this Piskei Tshuva, we'll come back to it in a second, the main part, but he quotes a Chasam Sofer, the end of this Piskei Tshuva says, v'hine, ma'ashe kosev donna regil l'hachmer v'chol ha'kelem v'hilu klishlishi. He quotes a Chasam Sofer that says,
Our minhag, our poskim, may machar and all kelim and klishlishi, etc. Hamor shlenui nogim kain. Our poskim, our moira are not knowing to be machar on all kelim. So here it's not so clear. Does he mean just not on klishlishi, or does he mean not even on klisheni? From the context, basically they're discussing the marshal. Is a davar gush counts as klisheni or klishlishi? So that doesn't make a difference. We're machar on everything. And then the Pesach Shuvah says that was the minhag in the town of Sam Sofer. We're not knowing to be machar on all the kelim. Really sounds like our minhag is not to be machar on klisheni to be yefet, like mechaber darma. And this is what Rav Moshe assumed in a few places. This is the ikker. Adayom has had different people telling different things, but I think the ikker minhag nowadays is like the mechaber and the Rama, that lechachila were super duper machmir. Of course, we'd never be making a lechachila on klisheni. Of course, we're choshish for the machmirim lechachila. Why get into it? But b'diavad, we are makel. B'diavad, we're makel in a klisheni. And I would add that even if you want to be machmir, so you know what? It might make sense for the shach. Be machmir, if you mama stick your hot dog into the hot chocolate, maybe they'd be willing to be machmir, because tacos are soft, porous things. But most of our shilas nowadays are not about ochel and klicheris. First of all, we don't really have klicheris nowadays, even though we're machmir, the true dish is klicheris, they're glazed. So they're certainly not as porous as food. And usually we don't put like kosher and trade food together in a klisheni, or meat and milk together in a klisheni. Usually the shilah always is the kli. You use the wrong spoon, right? You stir your coffee with milk with a fleishik spoon, or you eat your chicken soup accidentally with a milchik spoon, etc. So then the shach would also be makeli tain. These hard kalim, you think the bliya is going to go in and out. We know nowadays, some rabbis say, even put in a fire, bliya is not going to go in and out of our hard kalim. But certainly, klisheni, so I really think that if you're dealing with kalim in a klisheni, you know, with using the wrong spoon or etc., then there's really no need to be machmir whatsoever in klisheni. If you're dealing with two foods, then even though the Mishnah Berurah sounded like with two foods, the ikker psak was to be makel all year long, and the Aruch HaShulchan said the ikker psak was to be makel all year long, like the mechaber darma, okay, with two foods, if you want to be machmir, so it's not a crazy chumrah, like the compromise of the shach. When it comes to kelim, I really think there's no need to be machmir, against the Mechaber and the Rama and most of the later Achronim on klisheni. What? And I think you don't have to machshir them, even though there is a... Maybe you noticed Rabbi Akiva Eger here. Rabbi Akiva Eger says, well, if it's a metal spoon, then you should kashrut it, because that's just lechachila. After all, if you can kashrut it, that's lechachila. That's not b'diavad. Why not kashrut it lechachila? And he says, well, if we're machshir lechachila, then kashrut it. That's called lechachila. That's not the minhag of the poskim that I've seen. I've seen the minhag of poskim is that... No. That's called b'di'evet. To say your spoon is treif and you have to kasher it, even though you can, that's called b'di'evet. And the minhag is that if you use the wrong kalim in a klisheni, you can be totally makel. You don't have to kasher them at all. You just have to rinse them off.
Hot, cold, and then you rinse.
I rinse them off cold.
No, I'm saying you just said in case you use another spoon in your chicken soup.
Hot, obviously. But it's a klisheni, right? The bowl of chicken soup is a klisheni. Usually the chicken soup is a klisheni, and therefore, so if you eat your chicken soup with a milchik spoon, my kids do that sometimes. What? We'll get to that. I'm not talking about davar gush now. That's why I'm using hot chocolate and soup. I'm not using davar gush. Anyway, so if someone, you know, eats chicken soup with a milchik spoon by accident because they're or male or something else that might lead them to make mistakes, then b'di'eved, you just rinse it off in cold water, so you don't do iwer klibishan onto it, and it's fine. If you had mamash put food in a klisheni, then even though the ikar din is room to be makel, you know, I think it would be kedai. If you mamash stuck hot dog into hot chocolate, it might be more kedai to be makel, like the compromise of the shach. Just because intuitively it does seem potentially problematic to us, but certainly if we're dealing with our kelim, which are not real klicheris, even our china is not real klicheris like in the time of Chazal, even for machmir, again, we'd be machmir on the fire in a kli rishon in our dishes, but in a klisheni, I don't think we have to go that far, so I think we can be makel halacha l'maisa. So klisheni, I think halacha lemaisa, we can be makel, certainly when it comes to utensils, plates and knives and spoons and plates and spoons and things like that. Now, there are a few exceptions that we do want to deal with. Number one is, so there, lemaisa, we're makel. There are exceptions to this kula of klisheni, right? Exceptions to the heter of klisheni. One is, obviously the most famous one, is the question of davar gosh, right? That came up once, it'll come up again. This is the famous machlokes in the Maharshal and the Rama, right? It'll come up, it came up earlier in Simen Tzadi Dalit, I believe, and it is going to come up again in the very next if. We'll just mention it now. The Maharshal, Davar Gush, Bikli Sheni. The Maharshal says it's like a Kli Rishon. Besides the fact he says a Kli Sheni is about Vila Maflit, he also says like a Kli Rishon. And the Ramah says it's like a Kli Sheni. What is the Psak Halach in this case? So, in terms of Hachros, the Shach in Simen Kof Hei Siv Gimel is Machar like the Marshal. The Taz in Simen Sadi Dalid is Mekel like the Ramah. Unless there is Duchka de Sakina, in which case he's Machar like the Marshal. But he's basically Taz and Mekel like the Ramah. The Shach is Machar like the Marshal. Halach Lamaisa, we assume that we are machmir like the Maharshal. Moshe says, based on the Echronim, it's a chomer we're machmir like the Maharshal. It's not necessarily the Iker din is like the Maharshal, but lemaisa we're machmir like the Maharshal. lemaisa lehachmir or lemaisa. We are choshesh for the Maharshal, which means all the great kulas I said about klisheni only work for liquids. Why? Because liquids are very affected by the kli they're in. The liquid in the pot stays hot because the pot keeps it hot. The pot is very hot. Once you pour the chicken soup into the bowl, or once you pour the hot chocolate into a mug, it now gets cool because the cool bowl or mug cools it off. As opposed to a davar gush, it's not really affected by the walls of the container. It's just, it has its own walls. It's self-contained. And therefore, says the Marshal, wherever you put it, it's going to stay hot. And as davar gush b'kli sheni, choshlan das Marshal, that it counts as a kli rishon as long as, until when? What do you mean? If I take a davar gush out of kli rishon and put it in the freezer, still counts as a Kli Rishon. No, as long as the Yatzel lettuce bow. As long as the Yatzel lettuce bow, it counts as a Kli Rishon, which could be a long time, depending on the exact type of food that you are talking about. Right? But sometimes you go to you could easily have a steak that came off the grill that's on a plate that's still Yatzel lettuce bow for a few minutes. And then the Marshal would say to be Machmer, and Lamaisa, we're Machmer like the Marshal.
Didn't we mention in the past that the Shach has a that if there's a liquid surrounding the
except dough, for the word shach. Yes, if you look on this page, in the fifth or second to last mukkah, or in the beginning, the Pesach Tshuva back in Sadi Dalit, that's what we mentioned. It says, "I'm very hated. I'm souls the mincha cloth of gimel shkasev shabatorsa asham herich lahachzik das marshal achshem chalach dechad sheiru habasar marotev tocha klisheni as miskari gam habasar there rotev shemakaro v'sov habasar mikol stud of ayin sham." Okay, one could question, we should do some experiments. We should do some experiments about this, Lamaisa, but until we do that, the meaning of the poskim is to be make a like this Torah Asham. I think it was Sol Smith quoting the Torah Asham. The Torah Asham is a pirish on the Torah Chatas. We have in the basement. We have different Torah Katz in the basement, but at least one of them. I saw on the shelf, at least one of them has the Torah Sasha on the bottom. We are making like that, that if you have, let's say you have chicken soup, and the chicken soup has carrots in it, or chicken, right? And then you eat it with a milking spoon, but you also touch the carrot, or you also touch the piece of chicken, maybe that's more of a problem. So you say, no, since it's in the soup, it still counts as cliche. Here it does get tricky, because, if you really ask a scientist, they'll say that these things are much more complicated, and different foods have different chemical properties, and potatoes keep their heat better than steak, and etc. But the poskim do not get into these details. And as a general rule, we can be makel. So if you have soup with pieces in it, then we can be makel to count that as a cliche also, based on this Torah Sasha. But if we have a davar gush, then we treat it like a kli rishon. Remember, the kli rishon, it's not only kide klipa. Kli rishon is enough to make everything usher. So if I have a sizzling hot steak in a klisheni, and I cut it with a benyomo milchik knife, or let's do a better example. I have a sizzling hot steak. Let's use that case. I cut it with a benyomo milchik knife. The Ramah would say differently. But since we are makra like the Marshal, we would say if you have a sizzling hot steak and you cut it with a milchik knife, then it will answer the whole steak unless the steak is shishin times the knife blade. And even if the steak is shishin times the knife blade, it will still answer kedei nativa because it's considered as if it was in a kli rishon. In Hilchos Shabbos also, as we well know, not that we usually eat sizzling hot steaks on Shabbos, I guess sizzling hot steaks are better when they're freshly grilled. That's why we don't usually eat them on Shabbos. But if you would have, food on Shabbos, that potato that you put on your plate is still yatsa lezbo, then, for example, we wouldn't put spices on it on Shabbos because we treat it like a kli rishon. Yes?
Wouldn't it be a din and sli if you cut it with a knife?
Fair enough. Okay, fine. So let's, fair enough. So we have to come up with a better example. That's true. There's Silchus Akina, so it's different. Okay, so let's come up with a better example. If I had a sizzling hot steak on a cliché, and I accidentally took a milchik pastry and put it on top of the sizzling hot steak, then we would say Tachata Gavar counts as a kli rishon, and it's all treif. And assuming neither one was shishin times the other, then it's all treif. Right? That would be because we treat it as a kli rishon. Okay, how likely is that to happen? I don't know. But you're right. The knife case, anyway, where machir is duchas sakina. That's still the duchas sakina takes away the kulos of tzli, and we're still good. Okay. That is the first exception. Now, there's also something that some of the later poskim like to quote, even though it's not quoted in the classical Makoros. There's this Chochmas Adam in the bottom of this page, who has a big chiddush. You might have heard of this in Hilchos Shabbos, called Yad Nichves Bo. It's a big chiddush called Yad Nichves Bo. Now, if you look at the way the Torah, the Beis Yosef, and the Achronim analyze Lashon the Torah, they seem to use Yad Nichves Bo as synonymous with Yad Soledes Bo. However, the chiddush of the Chachmas Adam is that he said Yad Nechves Bo is different than Yad Soledes Bo. Why? Because what did Yad Soledes Bo mean? Your hand would
recoil.
Your hand would recoil. What would burn at Yad Soledes Bo? The same temperature that would make your hand recoil. I mean, you won't get burned. You'll just recoil. The same temperature that would make your hand recoil would make, what does the Gemara say? What would it burn? Kray Social Team of Nechves Bo. Now, I assume they didn't do experiments for this, but they were just estimating that a baby's belly, which is a very sensitive part of his body, would get burned. It's a davar yadua. You look at any of the literature put out by the safety organizations, and they tell you, be very, very careful with hot water, because, especially if you have babies around, because besides the fact that they
don't necessarily know how to be careful all the time, but their skin is much more sensitive than adult skin, and they can get burnt more easily. So therefore, a baby's belly would get burnt at the same temperature that my hand would recoil, just as an instinct to be extra careful. Obviously, my hand recoils at a much lower temperature than I would actually get damaged, because you want to stay on the safe side, right? So, you know, our bodies are built that it's not like we go around happily touching things and it feels good until the exact temperature where we'd get a blister. No, obviously it feels bad and we withdraw our hand, you know, 10, 20 degrees lower than we would get a blister because we want to stay on the safe side. So that's the shear of Bishl is Yad Soledes Bo, which is Kri Social Tino Nichves Bo. But, says the Chachazadim, therefore Yad Nichves Bo, if your hand would get burnt, that's obviously a hotter shear. Right? We know your hand won't get burnt to the outside lettuce bowl, it'll just recoil. But it wouldn't get burnt. Yad Nichves Bo is a hotter temperature at which your hand will get burnt. Now, exactly what are these temperatures gets a little tricky, because if you actually do the science, it's a trick question. What temperature water will cause you to get a, I assume Nichves, I'm assuming it's a second degree burn. I think, anyone here a EMT or anything? I think a first-degree burn means that it doesn't blister. It just hurts. I don't know, a second-degree burn is that it blisters, and a third-degree burn is, like, really bad. Your skin really gets burnt. I don't know. Anyway, let's say blister, right? I assume a kviya is a blister, right? Now, what temperature water does it take to blister an adult hand? So that's a trick question. Because it depends how long you're touching that. Correct. Meaning, even very low temperature water, even you guys like American temperature? Israeli temperature? American, 120 degrees water. If you keep your hand in it for a minute, you will end up getting burnt. I'm assuming it stays hot. You know, as opposed to if you have 180 degree temperature water, even if you touch it for a fifth of a second, you will get a serious burn. So the question is, what do we mean here by Yad Nichves Bo? My assumption is that, and here's my assumption, that probably Yad Soledes Bo is probably the kind of temperature that will burn you if you keep your hand in it forever, and therefore you have an instinct to recoil. You know, if you keep your hand in it for a minute, it'll burn you, you have an instinct to recoil right away. Yad Nichves Bo, I assume, means that if you just touch it briefly, Yad Nichves Bo. Now, how briefly? You know, there's a whole, like, mathematical formula of, you know, was 1 second, half a second, I don't know. But I assume it's up there somehow in the, you know, 170, 180 degree, you know, very, very hot. The type where even if you touch it very briefly, you will get a real burn. So says the Chochmas Adam, v'im hucham kol kach she'ad nichves afilu b'klisheni mevashel. Even in the klisheni is mevashel. Here he says, not just mavliu maflin, mevashel counts the kli rishon if it's so hot. Meaning he says, look, this is a practical thing. A kli rishon will keep its heat, so therefore even if it's a little hot, it'll still have power. Kli sheni cools off very quickly, and therefore, if it's only borderline hot, it won't stay hot for very long. But if it's super hot, that's a different story. And his mukkar, he's a fascinating mukkar. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Maestros, based on Yerushalmi. His mukkar is really from a little bit from the field. I'm not going to go over Hilchos Maestros now. But there are certain things that are koveil in maestros that make you unable to eat even a snack until you're mafresh shumus or maestros. One of them is bishel, or the immersive aish in some places. If you cook the food, then you can't even have a snack without maestro, even out in the field. And they say, well, a cliche, if it's yad nichves bo, then it's considered cooking for the purpose of maestros. And the Rambam quotes that. Now again, we're not clear what he meant. Did he mean just a special chumrah in maestros? So the Chachas Adam assumes, no, he wasn't dealing with some special chumrah in maestros. He assumes the Rambam is saying something in Kol HaTorah Kula. That's the assumption. Like maybe maestros has its own rules. No, he assumed the Rambam was talking in Kol HaTorah Kula. Yad Nichves Bo is different than Yad Soledes Bo. That's a chiddush. You look at Rambam Hillel's maestros, he doesn't say Yad Soledes Bo is one thing, Yad Nichves Bo is another thing. He just sort of throws out this phrase Yad Nichves Bo. Most people assume Yad Nichves Bo is the same as Yad Soledes Bo, and that's a special din in maestros. That even a cliche nisha Yad Soledes Bo is considered bishul. Why? Okay, maestros is not really so similar to is not really so similar to what we're talking about. And after all, there's a lot of things that are koveil in maestros that make something a more a more serious kind of eating and not a snack. For example, if you eat it on Shabbos, so that's more serious. If you, you know, if you bring it into your yard instead of the field, that's more serious. So it could be, even if you put a cliche, she had some lettuce, but that shows you're serious about eating and it's not merely a snack. Fine. But the finish of the Chachmas Adam is that he assumes, it's not that Maestro says a special chumra by klisheni. It's that Yad Nichvesbo is a special chumra by klisheni. And when the Rambam says in Hilchos Maestros that Yad Nichvesbo counts as Bishol, he doesn't. He also meant that by Hilchos Shabbos, and he also meant that by Hilchos Basar B'Cholim, and Hilchos Haruvos, etc. It's a big chiddush because if the Rambam or some Rishon or some early Achro meant that Yad Nichvesbo is different than Yad Soledisbo, you'd think they should have said so someplace outside of Hilchos Maestros. If they didn't mean it was a local detail in Hilchos Maestros, you know. And then you have like all the modern Achronim who did not live in Eretz Yisrael, and the Rishon didn't live in Eretz Yisrael, who left that out entirely, right? So this Chachmas Adam is a chiddush. Nonetheless, the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Shabbos is noted to be machmir for this Chachmas Adam, and some posts are noted to be machmir for this Chachmas Adam. And therefore, if you have a super duper hot klisheni, most of our klishenis, most of the time are not Yad Nichvesbo. It all depends how long you stick your hand in them. For sure, if you stick your hand in it for a long time, you will eventually get burnt. But most of our, you know, if you just put your hand in it for 1 second, most of our klishenis are not Yad Nichvesbo. They do, because klisheni really is colder than a kli rishon. However, if you have a super duper hot klisheni, then there would definitely be makum to be machmer based on this Chachmas Adam, especially since some people are machmer on all klishenis. So if it was really, really super duper hot klisheni that was really closer to boiling point than to just normal hot food temperature, then there would definitely be makum to be machmer. But I think most people, like if you're talking about soup bowls and hot coffee, most people would not be burnt if they just briefly touch, which I assume what he means, this hot thing. Unfortunately, what happens sometimes is if you spill it on someone, then it gets stuck under their clothes, then it could burn them because it'll take a long time. It'll touch them for a long time. But if you just spill it on someone's finger and then it falls down onto the ground, please don't try this at home. But then most people would not be burned. If I took a bowl of chicken soup, again, a very dangerous thing is that you put on someone's clothing because it gets stuck under their clothing, their skin, and it gets stuck there for 15, 20 seconds, which is already enough time to burn at a low temperature. But if you take a bowl of soup and pour it over someone's hand, usually they would not get burned. It would be very uncomfortable for them. But usually they would not get a blister. But if you would have a really super duper hot klisheni, then in that case, it could very well be that Bimakum to be Machmir, says the Chachmas Adam. He says, Klisheni Shehayad Nichvesbo counts as Kli Rishon, meaning it's even Mivasha. Which, in general, in Hilchos Shabbos, we try to be Machmir for. There would be more room to be machmir, certainly if possible, if you had a kli sheni, even though it's a big chiddush this Chachmas Adam. But given that the Rashba is mele machmir kli sheni, so if it's also kli sheni, she had nechvesbo, certainly if there's not a hefzid, one should be machmir for this Chachmas Adam.
Basra Chalabah still wouldn't be derech bishol?
No, he would call it derech bishol doreksa. He thinks it's real bishol.
I mean, it could be temperature of Bishol should not be derech
Bishol. What?
I mean, it could be temperature, it could cause Bishol. It's not derech Bishol.
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I don't know if he talks about Basar B'Cholof, so it's our DM. But I think he would be offer. I think he would count it as Mamish Bishol. You know, maybe this is a derech Bishol. After all, if it's hot enough, why can't you cook? Never heard people cooking in a cliche? You never ate soft-boiled eggs? You ever eat soft-boiled eggs? No? Okay, you cooked them in a cliche. Say it. Lom Shanet. Okay. It's, yeah.
Hot dogs.
Yeah, but the hot dogs are cooked already. You're just warming them up. Okay. What else do we want to mention here? Let's see. So that's the psak in terms of cliche-ni. I will just review a few things here, which is number
Number one.
Are Kli Sheni and Hom Shana Hatchelus both identical in terms of all this?
No.
Or the Kli Rishon, which had cooled down to a point of.
Ah, okay. So now let's talk about Pachas Miyatsa Lexbo. Right? Let's talk about Pachas Miyatsa Lexbo. Okay, so what about Kli Sheni? That's Pachos Mehayat Soletisbo, or really, you know, the real phrase is Ein Hayat Soletisbo, right? Okay, we'll see it. That's what it really is. Ein Hayat Soletisbo. Then everyone sort of agrees that's Mutra. I don't know about the Rashba, but the Achronim agree that's Mutra. What about Kli Rishon She'ein Hayad Soletis, but we'll write it in proper Hebrew here. What about a Kli Rishon? Kli Sheni She'ein Hayad Soletis, but what about a Kli Rishon She'ein Hayad Soletis, but? So this is the famous Chumra of the Maharshal, right? The Shach quotes that the Maharshal. Now, clearly, if you look in the Mechaber, Chom Shal Kli Rishon Shal Yad Soletis Bo, Mevashal, etc. Right? It seems pretty clearly a clear implication that it's only for the Yad Soletis Bo. If it's not Yad Soletis Bo, he's not worried. However, the Marshal is Machmer and Kli Rishon, even She'ena Yad Soletis Bo. And why? What's the Mucker of this Chumra? What's the Mucker of this Chumra? To be Machmer and a Kli Rishon, even though Ein Hayat Soletis Bo. So it's Mefurish Yerushalmi. Asu Harchakal Kli Rishon V'Asu Harchakal Kli Sheni. Right? So, the Maharshal is Machmir Alpi the Yerushalmi, which is says, if it's Ein Hayad Sholetis Bo, Asu Harchaka. Actually, pretty sure these words are in a row. Kan v'kan she'ini yad sholetis bo, Asu Harchaka likli rishon, v'lo Asu Harchaka likli sheni. Okay, therefore there's a Harchaka likli rishon. Now here, this makes a big machlokas. Mesri Tshuva hints at this here in Sifkatan. Vav. What does the Yerushalmi actually say? Ein hayat. What's the case, Darchaka? Ein hayat sholetes bo. Your hand doesn't rule over it. If your hand doesn't rule over it, then that's what we call in Bavli language.
That's what it is.
Is Ein Hayat Sholetis the same as Ein Hayat Soletis Bo?
No, it's hotter.
Ein Hayat Sholetis is the same as Yad Soletis Bo. Your hand cannot rule over it because your hand recoils, right? So it seems Adaraba. The question is how to interpret this Yerushalmi. There are two ways to interpret this Yerushalmi. I must admit, I have very little. I have a big tzarchion on the Maharshal because it seems so poshut that there's the wrong shot in the Yerushalmi. What does the Yerushalmi mean? Right? What's Ein Hayad Sholetis Bo? So one shot is that it's the same as Ein Hayad Soletis Bo. In which case, the Yerushalmi is adding a Chumrah, right? Is Machmir. The Yerushalmi is more Machmir. I'm not saying more Machmir than Bavli, more Machmir than we would have thought, right? Is, let's see, Machmir that Kli Rishon She'ein Hayad Soletis Bo is Oser. That's one way. The only problem is that's not what the Yerushalmi says, right? That's not what the Yerushalmi says. Either you have to say it's a toast sofer in the Yerushalmi, and they meant the reverse, and somehow got mixed up because people confused Sholetis. Some scribes confused Sholetis with Soledes and messed up the Yerushalmi. Maybe the Yerushalmi really meant to say, Hayad Sholetis Bo, But some scribe got mixed up and thought he meant ain't got shalettes because then got mixed up shalettes with a lettuce and made a toast sofer in the Yerushalmi. That's difficult. The pashup shot is that ain't a yad shalettes is the same as yad shalettes bo. In which case, what are they saying? There's a harchaka for kli rishon shayad shalettes bo.
Why is that only a harchaka?
But why is that only a harchaka? Asked the achronim, such as Chesky. Right, same as yad shalettes. And the Yerushalmi says that Kli Rishon Shehayad Soledes Bo, let's see, Oser Midrabanan, right, is Archaka, is Oser Midrabanan. Ah, the problem is a Kli Rishon Shehayad Soledes Bo should be Oser Midaraisa, right? And that's where a lot of people end up supporting the Marshal. The problem is that's wrong. We discussed this already in some Tzadik Dalet, because the Yerushalmi is Lashitase. What does Yerushalmi hold? Ein bishul barer. Famous line of Yerushalmi. Ein bishul barer, ela kishahor mahalich tachtav. There's only bishul barer when the or is mahalich tachtav. There's only bishul da'oraisa when there's a fire underneath. The Yerushalmi thinks there's only bishul da'oraisa when there's a fire underneath. What if there's no fire underneath, but it's still yatsa lettuce bow? That's a gzera d'rabbanan. That's the pashup shad in the Yerushalmi. Right, but midoraisa, the Yerushalmi has this phrase: "Ain bishul barer." There's no clear, real, 100% bishul. Ella kisheha or mehalech tachtav. I think I got the words right. If I was off on the exact inflection of one of them, you will forgive me. I think it was mehalech. Right. So the Yerushalmi is l'shitase that bishul means you have to have a fire. What about if we shut off the fire? The answer is, that's a gzera because of a harchaka. But the gzera is only yad soledes bo. And that's the answer. They ask the Yerushalmi, what's the difference between kli rishon and kli sheni? Remember what's the difference between kli rishon and kli sheni? What does Tosos famously answer, and we all learned in high school? Why is kli rishon more, mashal more than kli sheni? Kli rishon is hot walls of the pot, and kli sheni is cold walls. The Yerushalmi says, what's the difference between kli rishon and kli sheni? Push it. It's only bishul d'oraisa on the fire. A kli rishon, if it's off the fire, is a gzera. Atu on the fire. But a klisheni, there's no gzera, because atu what? It was never on the fire. Klishon off the fire can be confused with klishon on the fire. Klisheni off the fire cannot be confused with anything on the fire. You don't put that on the fire. So that's posh of shot, that's the Yerushalmi. In any case, it's really mukhrach. Like, if you really go into the Yerushalmi and read it in context, it's mukhrach that the Yerushalmi is only machra on kli rishon shehayad soledespo. Which, according to the Bavli, is probably even Usher Doraisa, there's nothing to talk about. So probably it's more Makel than the Bavli, not more Machber than the Bavli. Anyway, so these are your two choices. Either Kli Rishon She'ena Yad Soledes Bo Zer Rabbanan, or Kli Rishon She'ayad Soledes Bo Oser Midrabbanan. And we're talking about Shalo Al Gabe Ha'esh. Because Midoraisa is only Al-Gami Ha'esh. Okay, two different ways of reading the Yerushalmi. That's the Pesukei Teshuvah where he hints at. He says that, what do you mean? If it's only Yatzoledes Bo, that's not a Harchaka. And then he bursts Maramis to all these Achronim who discuss this out further. Halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin about this? The Shach ends up saying mutter. But then he says, the Marshal was Machber based on the Yerushalmi, and I think he has the wrong Shal in the Yerushalmi. The Shach takes the second Shal in the Yerushalmi. But Lamaisa, the Chen Yesh Lahachmer, Afid Rishark, the Rishark Poskin, Lo Nirikin. It sounds like there's room to be Machmer a little, at least if it's on the fire. So Lamaisa. Lemaisa, in the end, says the Shach here that even though most of us don't sound this way, there is room to be maybe some need to be machmir, at least if it's not in the fire. The Taz earlier in Tzadi Dalet also was somewhat partial to this chumrah. So Lemaisa, yesh lahachmir. Al Gabi Ha'esh. If it's not a Hefsid, if it's a Hefsid, it's sort of hard. So it's really based on Rosh Hashanah and Yerushalmi. But
At least, you know, if it's a gavi ha'esh and really like the worst kind of TV show between the Yatza Lesbo there could be, and it's very easily to be confused, then there's room to be machmir. You know, if there's no other tzadim lahakel, usually there are other tzadim lahakel. If you remember the onions and other things, where there's many other tzadim lahakel because really in a ben yomo nap or not, etc. Then I would not be machmir. But if there's no hefsed and no other tzadim lahakel, then there is room to be machmir a little, at least if it's on the fire and it's hot, it's just not yatzo lettuce bowl. But the mice, I don't think that comes all the time.
Does Shas machmir pass the klipa or only to a klipa?
That is a great question. I would assume the whole thing, why? Because it's a harchaka. This is not Medina. It's not that we think it's Mavliya, it's a harchaka, right?
Yeah, but he says Lushan kind of sounds like it's only a klipa, right?
Ah, that Mavliya to the klipa. You're right. Vachin is lachmir in the end.
Right, like the Vachin makes it sound like it's okay. Going on the klipa part.
Fair enough. Fair enough. It sounds here like he's only machmir to the klipa. That's a fair deal. Okay, good. So only Kedei Klipa. Even though then it's a little funny because it's not totally because of Archaka, right? If it's Archaka, you got to remember the whole thing. It's some sort of combination. Maybe it's Archaka and maybe the Rashba's right. So between the two of them, I guess both of them would be machmir, a little. Seder. What else do we have to say about Sif Beis? Just to review, the Shachar has a little bit of a review of the halachos. Two other things. The Shach has a little bit of review of the halachos of Iwer that we learned before. He reminds us of this machlokas. We probably learned this in high school in Halachas Shabbos also between Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam. And then there's one other version of Rabbeinu Tam also that he mentions. The Marashal Prisha quote Rabbeinu Tam. Lemaisa, what about Iwer? So, what's the halacha of Iwer? There's a famous machlokas Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam in Hilchos Shabbos. There seem to be three opinions. The Shach only legitimizes two of them. Iwer Kli Rishon. So, says the Rashbam, Eino Mevashel Klal. It's not Mevashel at all. Oh, you'll ask, what do you mean it's not Mevashel at all? What about the fact that hot landing on cold is the tagover and mavliya for the klipa? So, remember, the tagover. Hot lands on cold, that's iroi klipi shown, it's mavliya for the klipa. How could the Rashbam say it doesn't cook at all? Be medayik in the words and answer.
Oh,
it doesn't cook, but it's mavliya kedei klipa. Second opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, mainstream opinion, is that it's Mevashel Kedei Klipa. Where does he get the idea of Mevashel Kedei Klipa? Because of that same Gemara Tata Gavar. And he just equates Bliya and Bishel. Umavliya Kedei Klipa. Therefore, in Hilchos Haruvos, there's no machlokes between Tam and Rashbam. As there shouldn't be. Tata Gavar is a rule of Kedei Klipa. The only machlokas is, this is similar to machlokas Rashba and the Mechaber. I mean, Tam says, Mavliya, Mevashel, same thing, like the Mechaber. Shvam says, it's Mavliya Kedei Klipa, but Bishel is different than Bliya. More like the Rashba. There's another version of Rabbeinu Tam that the Shach denies exists. Right? The Shach denies that this version of Rabbeinu Tam exists. He says the Prisha quotes and the Marshal quotes it. I think if you look in Tosfos and Zvachim, this version of Rabbeinu Tam does exist. So, there is an altered version of Rabbeinu Tam. and in the Maharshal and the Prisha that the Shah says doesn't exist. He's right. There's not the mainstream Masorah of Reino Tam, but there is another version of Reino Tam. Couldn't be Reino Tam changed his mind that this was his Pavanina, which is that it's Iwer Tivishon is Osar Kulo. Ah, what about Tata Gavar is only Kidei Klipa? What if that Tata Gavar only Asers Kidei Klipa? Then you would say this is Mavashal Kulo. If Lo Nifsak Hakiluach, but if it's Nifsak Hakiluach, then it's only Osir Kidei Klipa. And he would say the case of Tata Gavar is only when it's Nifsak Hakiluach. Halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? Okay, this is a bit of machlokas in the Shmir Shabbos Gochasa, my Rebbe Rabbi Willig. Rabbi Willig says he thinks we should be machmir for all the opinions. But the Shachir paskins, and this is the mainstream opinion among most poskins, is that we are not choshish to this version of Rabbi Tam that the Shach says doesn't exist. That we paskin, that we are mesupik between Rabbi Tam, the mainstream version of Rabbi Tam, the Rashbam. We are mesupik whether Iwai is mevashal kidei klipa or not. That's the mainstream halacha. Iwai mesupik is mevashal kidei klipa. And we go l'chumra. Therefore, on Shabbos, we would not do Iwai because maybe it's mevashal kidei klipa. And if you poured boiling hot milk on your meat with Iwai, klibishon, then we would say the kidei klipa is Asr B'Hanah, because it might be real Bishol, and then it would be Derech Bishol Asr Torah, and it would be Isra Hanah Kidei Klipa. So we're in Machmir. Pasha is Mavliya Kidei Klipa. That's a Gemara. Tata Gavar Vadimekali Bala Kidei Klipa. Is it Mavashal Kidei Klipa or not? Then we are Machmir. As opposed to, says the Shach, if we're talking about Eroi Mikli Rishon, Shenifsak HaKiluach, then paskin is a shach based on the poskim siman samaches that we paskin that b'di eved we paskin it's not mevashel at all. At least b'di eved we paskin not mevashel at all. Let's say it's not mevashel at all, but it's mavliyak de klipa. Remember, we saw stira in the shach earlier in the bas b'chalav whether ira shenifska kiluof does anything or not. So we are machmir that it's mavliyak de klipa, but it's not mevashel at all. It's nifsak hakiluach. That's the basic summary. There's more details, but that's good enough for now. The last thing I just wanted to mention in Hilcha, in the Sif, is the discussion of the Pischei Tshuva in... two Pischei Tshuvas, one in Sifkat Zayin. Pischei Tshuva in Sifkat Zayin says, quotes from the Bechor Shor, he says, we're not a bucky in the shir of Yatzol Lettuce Bow. You might have noticed that, because you ever read any like modern halacha books, they say, how hot is Yatzol Lettuce Bow? Something between, 105 degrees and 185 degrees. You know, that's a pretty big range. That's about half of the range of temperatures of water. We're not a bucky in the shear of Yad Soled Espo. It's hard for us to tell exactly what is Yad Soled Espo, which is the same as Kriyas Sotin of Nichlavo. All right, and we're not allowed to do experiments. And therefore, he says, at least when you're dealing with something which is a chshash of Eido Oraisa, and maybe even when it's a chshash with Rabbanon, you have to be machmir. This is what we assume. We're machmir. I'm not talking if they were a real anisafik and there's other stuff in the hakel, something to account. But all this being equal or machmir, unless you're sure that it's not yad soled espo. As opposed to, says some people say, if you can just hold it, then it's not yad soled espo. That's not true, because just because you can hold it for a little while, it still might be yad soled espo. It still might be yad soled espo even if you hold it for a little while. So that's halacha l'maisa, that we're machmir. If we're not sure how hot something is, we assume it's a chashash v'yad soled espo, unless we're sure that it's only lukewarm. If it's comfortable to the touch, then obviously it's not yad soled espo. But if you can, if you gird your loins right? You prepare, you steal yourself, you can hold it. That's still like biyatsu lettuce bow. It's just that you can hit kaber a little and you won't get burnt because you're using your hand, not the belly of a newborn baby. That's still a chashash of yatsu lettuce bow. So unless you're sure that it's comfortable, if it's comfortable, it's obviously not yatsu lettuce bow. But if like you can manage to touch it, or even if you can manage to hold it for a little while, that still might be yatsu lettuce bow. Just your hand would have recoiled if you touched accidentally. Just you steal yourself and you're able to hold this. Therefore, you have to be careful. You can't just assume that everything's not yatsu lettuce bow. Unless it's mamish a comfortable, temperature. A lot of food, by the time it sat out on the table for a while, is mamish a comfortable temperature. You wouldn't normally hold it in your hand for cleanliness, but, you know, there's nothing, you know, it's a perfectly, you know, it's a little warm at the room temperature, but it's perfectly comfortable. But a lot of things, when you first serve, and it also depends where they're coming from, like a lot of Shabbos food is not yatsu lettuce bow. Because it was never heated so hot in the first place before you served it, because it wasn't coming straight from, you know, grilling and cooking. Instead, it was coming from a plata, it was coming from a, you know, a low flame on the blech, it was coming from an oven that was already off and just holding the warmth. You know, so Shabbos food is less likely to be yatsu lettuce bowl, but if you're talking about fresh food that just came mamish off the stove being cooked or off the barbecue, etc., then it's probably yatsu lettuce bowl for a bit until it cools down. But Shabbos food is probably usually not yatsu lettuce bowl, just because, you know, the nature of how we keep our food warm on Shabbos is that it's not sizzling hot. And it's probably, you know, barely yatsu lettuce bowl even when it's on the plata. So by the time you take it off the plata, and for sure transfer into another kli, or even in the same, even the kli rishon, you take it off the plot and you put it on your table, pretty quickly it becomes not yatsu lettuce bowl. But weekday food, I think, is much more common that you could have yatsu lettuce bowl for a long time. Because you're taking it off really, really hot. I don't know, someone should check in a barbecue. You take things off the barbecue, how long they stay yatsu lettuce bowl? Probably a long time.
It really depends on the like, even the difference between meat and fish is a huge difference.
Yeah, I'm seder, okay. Like, depends on all these things that I don't understand because I'm not a chemist. Sif, gimel. Okay, so these are important things. By the way, this shiloh comes up a lot. Someone says, I accidentally, remember the whole like the Mar Shal, right? So, I accidentally took a piece of schnitzel and put it on a milchik plate. Was it yatsu lettuce? Was it not yatsu lettuce? So then you really have to be eyeing it, but it's really not pashut. This happened to me once. Someone accidentally took a piece of schnitzel from the frying pan. It was off the fire. It's on the frying pan and put it straight onto a milchik plate. So was it yatsu lettuce bowl? Was it not yatsu lettuce bowl? So it was like, I don't know. Like if you really wanted to, you could hold it for a little while. But then it got uncomfortable. So we threw out the plate. Okay.
Considering that the Rambam is Mekel, should we be a little bit more flexible about the yatsu lettuce bowl standards?
Not so much. Not to mention, in that case, you wouldn't have been, because it was coming straight from the... Okay. Gibel. Sif Gibel. Nafal is rechon to heter chon de tibishon. If hot iser falls into hot heter in a tibishon, or filo iser tzon to heter chon, this we already remember from Simon Sadi Aleph, or even cold iser falls into hot heter, right? As long as the bottom one is hot, ha kol oser, everything is oser to tazan. Gavar ala elyon, v'chon v'vachim afel tatachton, because the bottom one is overpowers the top one and makes it hot until it gives its time to the bottom one. Things are lomar to heter tzonin and tzonin iser chan. And obviously, if the cold heter fell into the hot iser, then it's usser, because it much more easily, the cold very easily absorbs from the hot. Avalom elgum chan the top tzonin, what if the top one is hot and fell into the bottom one that's cold? Ein osor el kdei klipa, we all know this halacha, right? What if you have a hot piece of schnitzel that falls on a cold cheese danish? Then, and only asers kidei klipa, or what if you have hot chicken soup that falls onto a cold what's something milk?
Cheese.
Cold block of cheese, big block of cheese. The accent is full of all hot chicken soup on it. That's no problem. It's only also kidei klipa. Afilu elyon cham iser. Even if the hot one was the iser, and it's easier for the iser to give taste to the heter. that to draw taste in the hefter, it doesn't matter. Basically, it doesn't matter which dish or which is hefter, it only matters which is bottom, which is top. Hot on hot is a problem, cold on hot is a problem, hot on cold is only kadekli. Okay, that we already know. Azar, of the cold zolomayir lechom klibishom. This is only if it's from klibishom. Remember, hot and klisheni doesn't count, according to the Ramah, which we possibly can be of it. Right, you go miyacha, meisur, minaesh, minichom, hefter. Like, for example, as soon as you take it off the klibishom, you put it onto the hefter. Right? That's like coming straight out of the klibishom. Avol kvar mura klisheni, if it already rested in a klisheni, it's low, oh low, then you put the heter next to it, or on it, ain't no osir klal, it's no problem at all, the cliche, ain't no osir kamoshenis ba'er. So what's he saying? If you take your hot schnitzel out of the frying pan and put it on a piece of cheese, then the osir's kadei kliba. But if you take your hot schnitzel out of the frying pan and put it on a plate, and then put cheese on it, it's no problem at all, because it's cold, according to the Ramah, who doesn't have the chumra of davar gush. However, the Marshal would say, if it's a davar gush, then it makes no difference if you just took it out of the frying pan, or if you had already put it in a tray, or if you put it in a tray and then took it out of the tray and put it on a plate, and then took it out of the plate and put it on another plate, doesn't matter. The Marshal would say, as long as the Yatsu lettuce, but we consider it like a Kli Rishon. And we're Machmer, like the Marshal, and therefore, if you have an actual piece of schnitzel or some hot, solid piece, it doesn't matter if it just was coming out of the Kli Rishon, or if it was already resting in a Kli Sheni, either way, it's considered to be like a klibishon, and if it's on the bottom, it makes everything usher. If it's on the top, it makes it a klipa usher. Because we're macher like the marshal. Continuing. Here's a new case. We mentioned this briefly, and I said we're going to see it more explicitly in Simon Kof Hei. What if neither's on top, neither's on the bottom? What if they're next to each other? So, v'minicham zeitz al zeh. If they're both hot from a Kli Rishon, then they're both usher. That is an easy case. Right? If they're both hot, that's a no-brainer. But what if Echad Sonei? What if one is hot and one is... If they're both cold, it's also a no-brainer. What if one is hot, one is cold, and neither is hot, neither is bottom? What's the law? So, Tzarech Klipa v'makom she'ha-heter. Tzarech Klipa v'makom she'naga. You have to take a Klipa off the heter. Meaning, they are mavliyin each other kidei klipa. And even though the Taz says something like only the cold one absorbs kidei klipa, they have heard him say, lav davka, means they both absorb kidei klipa. So, what's the din if you have... What's the din if you have next to each other? Right? Heter, iser, and one is hot and one is cold. So the Ramah says... The Ramah says, kidei klipa. Why? Because neither one of them overpowers the other. If neither one overpowers the other, then you have a cold piece meeting a hot piece. When a cold piece meets a hot piece, it's only hot where they meet. So it only answers kidei klipa. However, the Marshal disagrees. The Shachat has both go to Marshal. The Kasas said the Marshal, if the Isser is Cham, the Heter Kar, it's Oser Kulo Kimo. Bimalicha. The Shach also quotes him. In Malicha, we say if you have one salted thing and one non-salted thing, we say the salted thing answers the whole non-salted thing. But the non-salted thing doesn't answer the salted thing. So why is that? So Marshal says, that's because there's no gavar. When there's no gavar, what's the rule? The hot thing answers the cold thing, and the cold thing doesn't answer the hot thing. So says the Marshal, no, the hat is mavliya into the whole cold piece. Meaning, if you had, so we know which is hot, which is cold. If you have cold Isser and hot Heter, then this is only Nesar Kidei Klipa. But if you have hot Isser and cold Heter, then, according to the Ramah, it's Nesar Kidei Klipa. But according to the Marshal, Nesar Kulo, it's all Usser. Why? Because there's no Gover. They're arguing, what's the rule when there's no Gover? There's clearly no Gover.
So the Ramah says there's no gavar, only at the borderline there's a bliya. Because beyond the borderline there's no heat. Barshal says there's no gavar, the hot one goes all the way into the cold one. The cold one doesn't go into the hot one. And therefore, if you would have basar b'chala, for example, basar, it doesn't matter which is the basar and which is the gvina, and gvina, then everyone agrees the gvina is only asar kedei klipa, but the basar for the ramah is asar kedei klipa, and for the marshal is entirely usher. Right? Because he says the hot one goes all the way into the cold one. How do we paskin on this? The Shach agrees with Ramah here. And he even argues on the Makoros of the Marashal. He says, Mach didn't really say it. But the Taz is Machmer. How do we paskin? So the Shach agrees with Ramah. And the Taz says, if there's no hefsin meruba, you should be machmer like the marshal. Lemaisa the chachmas adam, and some of the manim de'achronim agree with achra of the taz. Yeah, you should be machmer like the marshal if there's no hefsin meruba. But it doesn't really happen every day. Okay, next says the Ramah, Eser sheinicho b'kli heter lehefech amrina be'gam kidin tathagavar k'mo b'shtei chatichos. If you put a tray food into a mutter kli, or kosher food into an usher kli, and one is hot, one is cold, we say tata gavar just like by pieces. We saw this already in Simon Sadi Beis, right? If you put a hot kli on cold food, or cold kli on hot food, etc., we say tata gavar by kelim just like by food. Not everyone agrees, but also kelim by now, the marshal disagrees. The marshal says tata gavar only works by foods which affect each other, not by kelim. As a matter of fact, Ramah, the Shach, the Kuzak Esav, says, hold on. Once there's tata gavar by kelim, if you pour hot soup into a cold bowl, the bowl's on the bottom, tata gavar, now it's cold. That's why klisheni is not mevashel. The Marshal just answers, I think klisheni is mevashel, because I don't think there's tata gavar by kelim. So the Marshal disagrees, says, no tata gavar by kelim, but we agree with Ramah, we say there is tata gavar by kelim. So for example, if you pour boiling hot food into a treif bowl, even the treif bowl with ben yomo, you'll only need 60 times the kedei klipa. Not 60 times the whole bowl, because it's only boleya kedei klipa. Or if you poured hot treif food into a kosher kli, it only trace up the kli, kedei klipa. We already learned this. Last Ramah. This is based on a Mishnah in Taros. This, by the way, is going to be very reminiscent of the discussion we had with the famous Shavar Rosh and Alzeya, but with a different answer. The Mishnah Taro says, if you pour cold into hot, right? You should know, right? One of the biggest issues in the times of Vayasheni especially, one of the biggest halachic issues, what was the hot button issue in those days? Yes. I remember there's a professor I know, a frum guy, who's a professor of Second Temple Judaism, whatever. And he's like going through all the theories as to like what really made the Tzedukim and Purushim not able to get all these different sects not able to get along. And like one Christian historian wrote, because they had different views of the afterlife and resurrection, and one they had different views of free will. And he's like, you guys have never actually lived as Jews before. You can have different views about free will and get along just fine. But the real problem is they had different views about Nitzo Chibor. If you have different views about Nitzo Chibor, then you can't live together. And I think they were right for Christians, but he was right for Jews. I mean, why is Nitzo Chibor such a big deal? Because the question isn't, if I pour, does what's on top affect what's on bottom? Of course it does. It's being poured in. Question is, what's on bottom affect what's on top? What's the nafgamina? If I'm a chaver who's Nisar on Toma Vatara, and I want to sell you something, can I pour from my barrel into your jug, or will the tumah go upstream and make all my stuff tummy, right? Can I give you a cup of wine to drink from my flask, or will your cup make it tummy? You know, this is real halacha l'maaseh. I mean, is there some way I could, like, give you stuff without making the stuff I'm pouring from tummy? I'll be very careful. I'll only pour very far away. Will the tumah go upstream or not? So says the Mishnah that If I pour cold into hot, then the tuma goes upstream and it's a problem. Okay. If I pour cold into hot, how is that relevant to us? Baba Hussein or Rabban, we don't have tuma batara anymore. Right? But we do have kashrus. So what if I pour from kosher into treif? Right? This could also be a real life question. Yeah, not as much as in the days of Aisheni, of Tuma Vatara, etc. But you could see this question. What if, you know, a guy asked me, you know what? You're making water. Could you pour a little water into my instant soup? You know, my instant soup with, I don't know, little pieces of pork and whatever else may be there. You know, can you pour your boiling water into it? Or can you pour, or he says, my soup is too hot. Can you pour some cold water into it? So is that going to make what's upstream treif or not? So you could say, well, just like the tuma goes upstream, the treif goes upstream. You could say. Or you could say, no, tuma goes upstream because tuma goes through negia. Does treif go through negia?
No.
What does treif go through? Tam. And the tam doesn't go upstream. The negia might go upstream. But the tam doesn't go upstream. So that's the question. Does the tam go upstream or not? So, Seth Paskins the Ramah, not a lot of people talk about it. Paskins the Ramah. Aser leros mikli sheish bo shuman kasher l'ner dolik sheish bo chel bo shuman iser. What was the usual case in the days of the Ramah? The usual case wasn't that the guy says, can you pour some water into my soup, it's too hot. Like, that was not a shchiach thing. The usual case was, what did they use treif for? What did they use treif fat for? Everyone knows what to use treif fat for.
Lights.
For candles, right? Right, what are the candles, right? Did anyone read Moby Dick, right? What do you use for candles?
Whale
blubber, right? Whale blubber is treif. Whale's a treif, it's a treif dog, regardless of its, of its scientific classification. Or what about the chalev, right? What did the Chumash suggest you do with your chalev? No, that's treif. But it's good. I see you did Steinmaker this week. No, that's only kutchen. V'chilin ve'lo chilin treifa. Yeosel l'cham malacha. Achol so'chlu. You should use it for something productive, right? What would they do with their chilin? They would use chilin for candles. Because they couldn't eat it. So if they had shuman of treifa, they would use it for candles. If they had chilin, they'd use it for candles. What happens if you need a little more oil in your candle and you're out of treif oil? So can you pour in from your kosher oil? Or will the treif go upstream? That's the parallel case that days the Ramah. Two, we'll mention if we have any cases nowadays, not so likely. That's the parallel in the case of the case that, in the case, or maybe some, the Ramah, to the case in the Mishnah in Machshirin. And what did we paskin? You can't pour from your treif oil into kosher oil into treif oil because the taste will go upstream. Now only lechatchila we're machmir. Lechatchila we medama, we compare iser v'heter to tuma v'tara. But that's only lechatchila. B'di'evit we don't. B'di'evit is perfectly fine. So therefore, what about pouring from kosher into iser? So lechatchila aser. B'di'eved mutter. Why is Rasul Achila? How is the taste going to go up? Here we have a Machlokas Shachan Taz, which is probably just Machlokas Rambam and Rashi, if you look in the standard Vilna Shas on the side of the Mishnah Machshirin. Okay, there's some debate about exactly what each of the Rishonim meant on that Mishnah, but probably is the same as Machlokas Shachan Taz and Machlokas Rishonim. Says the Shach Rishon da Hevel Ola Lamala, because the steam might bring the taste. And the Taz says no, because the nitzok, the stream connected. So why? Says the Shach, because of the hevel, the steam. After all, the steam comes out of the candle, right? You see a candle, an oil candle burning, there's a certain degree of steam. And the Taz says, because nitzok, chibur, he doesn't mean Tumavatara. He means the Nitzo connects it, and it goes upstream. At least if the bottom one is hot. Why? Because if the bottom one is hot, it's gavur and it takes over the nitzok. Okay, maybe it like rises into the nitzok. Okay, so lechatchila it's usher b'dieved, it's mutter. Let's just go through a few halachos on this, just briefly. Is it ever usher b'dieved? So the Yad Yehuda quotes a kanfei Yonah who has the kasha. Why is the hevel here only a problem? Why is the hevel here only a problem? Lechatchila, how do we paskin about zeah? Zeah only a problem lechatchila or even b'dieved? If the zeh of treif goes into your kosher food,
yeah,
what?
That's
the even b'dieved should be usher. The zeh should be usher even b'dieved. And this is a big mystery in the Achronim. It seems to me, and this is what it's not so clear. Like a lot of modern day sfarim talk about this, and it's not so clear exactly what they're saying. And I think this is what like all the modern day authors mean. I think that you have to mechalik between two cases. There's a case where. I think you have to mechalik between two cases. Here's a case where here's the Yisr, and here's the steam of the Yisr, and then you put your heter into the steam of the Yisr. That would seem to be usher. Remember what the Rama said. The Rama said, if you would have your salami hanging where the zeya of the milk is yad soletisbo, then it would be usher, right? If it's yad so lettuce bow. So what's the case, according to the Taz here? Taz says there is hevel. And you don't need the Taz to say there's hevel. Meaning, l'chor there's hevel, right?
The
or the Shach says it's hevel, I meant. So what's the case here? So I can think of two, hezbeirim for the case here. So what's our case? Our case might be, if there's isser, and here's the, what's it called? And ain't a yatsu lettuce bone. Maybe it's not yatsu lettuce bone, the steam of the candle. And then you put your heter here. That's also lechatchila. But b'dieved, since it's not yatsu lettuce bone, it's not going to be a problem. Won't little bits just get stuck? No, because they'll come down with the flow. Or you could say it's this. Yeah?
You say it's like where, like the way I pictured it was that you don't have a pot directly. Like, if a salami's hanging over a pot and steam's going to hang the salami, it's in the food. Here, like, you're pouring into something. You pour from the side. You're always pouring.
No, you usually pour on top. If you were adding oil to a lamp, you would stand on the side of the lamp and try to get the good arc, or you just put it on top of the lamp and drip down? Give me a break.
Okay.
If you lived in the time of the Rama. Maybe you're especially skilled and coordinated.
No, I mean, you don't do it from, like, this side.
You could do it on top of the flame, because that would extinguish the
flame. I don't know, like, wouldn't that hurt your hand?
You have to be, like, a little bit to the side.
Yeah, it would still be pretty,
Wouldn't it, like, hurt your hand? I don't know, whenever I pour things in, I don't, like, put it directly over and go like this. I do it from the side.
It would still be pretty close. The other thing I could think of, but I'm not sure if this works in the Metzias, maybe really the steam would not reach where you're pouring from. But once you pour, the fact that you're pouring it to hot, like, makes some of the steam go up a little more, makes some of what you're pouring join the steam, so you get, like, a little extra steam. I know that works when you pour hot. I don't know if that works when you pour cold, though.
Yeah, if you pour enough, it will.
Okay, so anyway, maybe this case is Aser B'dieved Misvara. At least the feed Rama, right? Maybe this is the case in our sif. So it's a bit of a mystery. Meaning it's a bit of a mystery. If there's really Zeya, that's usher even b'dieved. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, let me just point out one thing, halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa, if you are pouring into treif and your mamish going into the pre-existing hot steam of the treif, then that's an usher even b'dieved. Even though I don't know if this is the right explanation for the Tzarech Iyun, the Kanfei Yonah or not, l'mais it's a mefurish Rama by Salami, that if you're going into hot pre-existing steam, that's usher even b'dieved. In this case, must be when the steam wasn't hot or the steam wasn't pre-existing. Right? That's what it must be. Therefore, let me just give you a halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa, if I have a
I'm adding water to the cholent. And I take a, you know, a cup of some sort of kli of water, and I pour into the cholent, and I put my kli into the steam of the cholent that's hot, then I made my kli fleshit. That's even b'dieved. That's not our case. Our case must be when you're not putting into hot steam. So let's just review. If you are putting into hot steam, that is aser afilu b'dieved. But our case must be, and why must it be? Because the Ramah talking. The Ramah was the one, unlike the Bach, who held that putting something into hot steam made it aser. Must be, you are not putting it into hot steam. Maybe you're putting it into cool steam or something like that. And that is aser lechatchila and mutter b'dieved. Now here, the question is, now, so let's review this. This is a shaila I often get. What if there's a, what if someone takes my kumkum or something and adds water to their treif food? So if the steam of that treif food was reaching it, or what if I add to my cholent pot from the kumkum? If the steam was reaching it, then that's a problem of zeah. But if the steam is not reaching it, now of course once I add hot water, there's going to be steam all over the place. That steam's going to come from my hot water, not from the tray food. Let's say one of the non-Jewish guards comes and takes the the hot water machine and adds to some sort of his instant tradition soup, but it's untradition soup or something, if that would be the metzias, right? Pork Campbell. Soup. Traditional Russian soup. Made with Mahadran pork, right? And he... Then, that's no problem. His soup wasn't steaming. His soup was actually just cold bits. There's tons of steam. The steam's coming from my kosher water, not from his soup. So that's not a problem.
Isn't the water mavliya from the tray from the bottle?
So isn't the water that lands get treif and then creates new steam, you would ask?
Yeah.
So first of all, that new steam is steam of a klisheni. Because once the water lands, it's in a klisheni. So klisheni steam is not mavliya. Not to mention the fact that, I don't know, the Mishnah Machshirin is only worried pouring cold into hot. It's not worried about pouring hot into cold. Maybe the assumption is when you pour hot into cold, the steam from what's on top tampers down the steam that's on the bottom. And really, the steam that's on the bottom can't rise through the steam that's coming from the top.
Remember the klipa into the steam anyhow? If it's hot, liquid into cold liquid. So then the steam will be klei klipa, at which point it's like not.
Right, okay. So lemaisa, halacha lemaisa, therefore, first of all, halacha lemaisa, unless you're putting it into steam, pre-existing hot steam, b'di'eved, if you pour from kosher into treif, it's not a problem. Lechatchila, we should avoid pouring from kosher into hot treif. That's the case here. So even lechatchila. So b'di'eved, unless you have this kanfeyona other angle, then it's okay. B'di lechatchila. Let's just review. Sonein letocham is aser b'di'eved. That's the case of the Ramah, and that's aser lechatchila. And that's the case of the Mishnah. Cham into cham is a machlokas achronim. Cham into cham is a machlokas achronim. The Prima Gadol is machmir, the Chacham Sofer is mekel. Okay, there are those who are machmir, the Chachila doesn't hurt to be machmir. Cham into tzonein is mutter even lechachila. Cham into tzonein is mutter even lechachila. Again, the assumption is, if cham goes into tzonein, then even though it fills with steam, the steam is probably coming from the top and not coming from the bottom. Even if a little still steam does come from the bottom, it gets knocked down by the steam coming from the top, and it's steam of a klisheni anyway, because it's coming from cold treif. So then it is not a problem. If I had a kitchen, I would still make the rule of chachila not to add hot water to any treif foods just to be on the safe side. What if it splashes? It's flashing with klisheni, but still it's not lechachila. But technically, if a guy says, can you add some of your hot water to my soup? I can. As long as it's not going into the steam of his soup. If I can you add some of your hot water to my powder? Or can you add some of your hot water, you know, to my milk, just to take the chill out or something? Then I can. Cham l'totzoni is mochik l'chachila. Cham l'cham is a machlokes. Okay, room to be machlokes l'chachila. Tzoni l'cham is for sure asul l'chachila. That's before Shrama. But b'di'evet is all okay. Unless it's just the case where you're putting into pre-existing zeya, it's all okay b'di'evet.
So steam from a klisheni is the same thing as klisheni?
Pashtus, yes.
Okay,
yes.
And how do we measure steam? You said before that even if you can touch it, it could still be acidified, I suppose. So how is it possible to know with steam how hot it is? Because you could put your hand in there and it could not be uncomfortable.
Okay, but so again, you might... No, if you put your hand in there, it's comfortable. It's for sure not yad soledes, though. There might be some in between, and then it's you'd have to be machmer. Then you'd have to be machmer. I think... So, halach l'maisa, people always ask me, they're in some institution, and there's some sort of kumkum there, and they think people might be pouring the hot water from that kumkum into their cold tray food. So I said, okay, l'chachili yesh ladun, but b'di'evet is for sure okay, as long as they didn't pour into steaming food, they poured to cold food or to hot food that wasn't steaming, then it's for sure okay b'di'evet, so you don't have to worry. Also, the Rabbi Forst quotes that even l'chachila, right, women, this might be a nafkamina. Let's say I have a kumkum that's pari, and I want to pour into meat or into milk. Give me 30 seconds, sorry. I want to pour into meat or milk. So the answer is, if I'm pouring hot into cold, that's fine. If I'm pouring hot into hot, then could be, we should be machmir l'chachila, not to pour from a hot kumkum l'chachila into hot cholent, if I wanted to stay parid, not to pour from a hot kumkum l'chachila into hot milchik, whatever, if I wanted to stay parid. However, b'di'evet, if I did, it's okay. And, right, Forrest quotes, I think, from El Yashiv, that's only if I want the water to stay parid. Like, I'm planning to use the water for both meat and milk. But let's say I pour from my kumkum into my cholent. I'm going to use all the water for Shabbos meals for Fleishik. I'm just going to use the kumkum again with different water for Parav. That's fine. He says, you don't have to worry about the kalim. It's enough to worry about the water, not about the kalim. And therefore, he says that halacha l'maisa, not for treif, for pouring from a Parav kumkum into cholent, since some achronim between gadar and machra and hat to hat, you should not pour from the Parav kumkum straight into the hot cholent l'chachila if you plan to use the water for both meat and milk. But if you're using all the water of Rosh Hashanah and you're just going to fill it with new water tomorrow, then it is perfectly fine, even l'chachila. So even this chumr l'chachila is only if you want the water to stay kosher or parif. But the kli is taka okay, even l'chachila. Okay, we'll have to pick up Amir Tzashem. We'll have to speed a little more on Tuesday.
We have 3 more here.
And I think we're going to have 5 more shirim and then chazara. So I think the 5 more shirim are going to be Tuesday, the day after Purim, and maybe like the Wednesday after that, just to make up for Purim.
We'll have like a week for Chazara?
No, then we'll have 2 weeks for Chazara.